This is Jordan Sekulow. A released ISIS soldier strikes in France.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
This morning, authorities searched for clues at the gunman's family's home outside of Paris. Prosecutors identified the shooter as a 39-year-old French citizen. The shooting killed one police officer and injured two others in an area that was packed with tourists.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
His name is Karim Shurfi. He's 39 years old, born here. He was implicated in the attempted assassination of police officers about 10 years ago. He did 10 years in prison, and then he was arrested in February. Police had him in their grasp. So now a lot of French people are wondering why this man, Karim Shurfi, was allowed to be free.
And now your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Terror in Europe, yet again, folks. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110, and not random acts of terror, not a random group. This was someone ISIS claimed as a soldier, but unique even to people that may have been inspired by ISIS, and the linkage has not been as clear. They actually had a ISIS name, kind of a new name for the terrorist in who had a background, of course, an Islamic background, before even the Islamic State existed, and had been someone radical in the country before. He was already on the terror watch list. As you heard in that news report, had served 10 years of a 15-year sentence for attempting to kill police officers back in the early 2000s, and was brought in again in February by French authorities because of threats to attacking and killing police officers. To put together significance, I see it similar to what happened in the UK as well, because of the location of this attack near the Arc de Triomphe on the Champs-Élysées in Paris, having to shut that street down over this incident. Someone with an AK-47 inside the EU, so having that kind of weapon, which is not easy to obtain in France, being able to get out of a vehicle or somehow get to where a location where these police officers, and there's a lot of security now in France, open fire at all. And then the shutdown of such a major road. This is, again, it's the most famous street in France. It's obviously similar to, you know, Pennsylvania Avenue, or, again, attacking near Westminster because of the significance to the visitors of Paris, the people who are citizens who live in Paris, the residents there, and the people of France, because these are, again, some of the main symbols that you see. So shutting that is a open street to vehicles, and not just pedestrians, but vehicles as well, if you haven't been there. So very big street. So to shut that down was very significant. Again, folks, this is another, we have seen, released ISIS terrorist. Released. So someone who was already in prison serving a long term for attempted murder now has murdered a police officer. Now, of course, that is the most important part, is that a life has been lost, others have been injured. This individual has been thankfully killed. But there are also elections in France this Sunday. That's round one of their presidential election. They have kind of a two-part structure, unless one of the 11 candidates, there's four leading candidates, but unless one of those 11 gets to the 50% plus one, they then go on to a second round of voting not too long after that, after Sunday, on May 7th. And there's a controversial candidate, a surprise, surprise, in France. Is it similar to our election that we just went through? In some ways, yes. In some ways, it's still very French and very European because of the way the process is set up there. But the significance this could have on a candidate who has been anti-immigration, anti-terror, and been more outright in calling out Islamic terror what it is. Marie Le Pen, if you've been watching the news, you know who she is. If not, we are going to explain it for you when we get back from the break, as well as some of the other leading candidates. Logan, tell people how they can get engaged and give us a call.
That's right.
As well.
Phone lines have just opened at 1-800-684-3110. Once again, 1-800-684-3110. Get your voice heard today. If you have a comment or a question, this is the perfect time to give us a call. Again, 1-800-684-3110. If you're watching online, you can comment in with someone on our social team. We'll get some of those comments to me. We'll get some of those on the air during the breaks. That's at facebook.com/jsekulow and on Periscope.
Go to aclj.org. Stay updated on all the news, all the issues. We're going to get into healthcare later in the broadcast as well. Some domestic politics. Dan Bennett, our government affairs director, will be here. Andrew Economou, our senior attorney, and very, again, knowledgeable in these areas. We'll talk about it when we get back.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. We engage the issues that matter most, whether it's fighting to protect Christians around the globe who are targeted simply because of their religious beliefs, or working to root out the corruption inside the Washington bureaucracy and hold those who are responsible accountable. The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. We have seen yet again another ISIS strike in France inside the European Union. This coming just days, literally days before the French go and vote in a presidential election. They have a unique system to ours, one that more similar to actually the special elections we've talked about, where you have all of the same party's candidates together, bunched up. There's 11 total candidates for president in France. That will then narrow down if no one gets to 50 plus one, and then there'll be another round of voting come May 7th. So first round, though, is this Sunday. There was some talk about potentially even postponing, changing the election date because of the significance of this attack. So while, again, there has only been one death, which is still a death, I mean, on the streets of not just a random part of a big city, which Paris is, but on the Champs-Élysées. I want to bring in, if you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110, but I want to bring in Andrew Conmo, who is a senior attorney with the ACLJ. But Andy, you know, we have an office in Strasbourg, which is a couple hours away from Paris. It's the seat of the Council of Europe and the European Court of Human Rights. We've been told, you know, by our staff there, who are French nationals, that they, you know, the amount of military on the streets now there. It's the sixth largest city in France, but has that European, all of these different representatives of countries. So kind of like Washington, it's not the biggest city in the United States, but it plays a very important role internationally, not just in France, but internationally, where they are. And we've walked these streets. We spend a lot of time there. We have staff there. We have people. And things have changed in France. So there was a quick response to this, what could have been a much more dangerous attack. A police officer losing his life. Prayers for his family. And that's, again, never acceptable. But I think we've already started to see a desensitization. At least we're desensitized from the global scope. One, it's another terror attack in France. But second, because it's not mass civilian casualties, the news has moved on somewhat quickly, though there is this election, you know, kind of hovering.
Yes, one wonders whether it would have gotten the attention that it has received if it was just a single police officer who was shot. But we have the eve of the election for the presidency of France, 11 presidential candidates. But France really, in 2017, has presented a really different situation, and it's a very frightening situation because it has been hit by a deadly wave of terrorist violence in the past 2 years that has claimed the lives of about 230 people and injured hundreds of others in addition to that. And the Islamic State has asserted responsibility I might also add for other terrorist attacks in France, including the terrorist assaults in 2015 on multiple targets in Paris that left 130 people dead and more than 360 wounded. France is a target of Islamist terrorism. It is a target of the jihadists. And this is going to have an effect, I believe, on the presidential election and may very well propel Marine Le Pen and the National Front to at least number one in the early voting.
This is a question I have for many of you out there. And this is, again, it's not judgmental. It's just, have you paid attention to this French election? I think because of this unique candidate, Marine Le Pen, who, again, this is not a new political party. She's not a newcomer to politics. So some people try to take the Donald Trump comparison. If you are French, you've heard this family's name, including her father's. He was a much more polarizing figure, someone who would not have been able to generate this kind of support ever, even with these kind of situations. She has, when she took the party over, which is the National Front, she has kind of moved it more to the, again, more mainstream, especially in light of what is happening, but still seen in France as a pretty extreme political party for French standards. For our own standards, if you actually go through policies, I wouldn't say that these are not social conservatives necessarily, or even economic conservatives. They are nationalist. And we certainly have got a U.S. president who also used very similar kind of language on the campaign trail when it came to issues like immigration. So this is my question to our audience today is, have you focused on this election at all? Has this now changed your focus where you're suddenly paying attention to what's happening in France? And give us a call if it's new to you, 1-800-684-3110. I mean, I guess the other question is, did you even know that France was about to elect a new president? Why does that matter to us, you may say? Well, yeah, they're a NATO ally. That's part one. So they have a military, obviously. They're on the almost, you could say, front lines of Islamic terror. I think this is the sixth attack in Paris in just a few years. So from ISIS. And so they're on that front line. But number three, which could be a significant change, is that France has the veto power, right, at the UN, like the United States. They're one of those five permanent members. So give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. I'd love to get your thoughts on that, again, because the impact. Imagine in our election, I mean, Donald Trump won significantly. If something like this had happened, and thank God it didn't, but if it had, I think he would have won probably five more states. And that is the factor that is will be interesting to watch in France, if indeed, which for now it looks like the vote is going to proceed as planned on Sunday. Again, this is why I want to get your thoughts on it, 1-800-684-3110. We have comments coming in.
Yeah, there's comments and calls. Michelle said, I hope that she wins. Do you think she will? And then Keith also has a phone call that's kind of related. He kind of feels the opposite way. So maybe we should go Keith in Boston, Massachusetts. Keith, you're on the air.
Hi. Jay, appreciate you taking my call. The comment I said...
Keith is breaking up. Let's put him back on hold and see if we can check on his line. But what do we think? What are predictions here for this?
Well, let's go through. I mean, right now... The prediction, the fight will be similar to what we saw in Georgia. Now, this is a national election, not a congressional race, but it's who gets to round two. And I think the way it works is it go to just two candidates in the second round. Yeah, so only the top two will get to that second round if no one gets to 50% plus one. Now, there's some talk, Andy, that this attack, because of where it was, so it's the capital of France,
right,
the street it was on, police officers who were supporting, you know, overwhelmingly, the majority of police officers supporting Le Pen, which 10 years ago, they were not. So she's added a lot of people to her party. There's been some thought that she could pull a surprise, unbelievable kind of swarm through this and not have to go to round two. But assuming if things play out even quasi-normally, getting to that 50 plus one with 11 candidates is very difficult. She's not setting the bar like that herself. But there are other major candidates in this race, too. She's not the only one. When people have the choice of the two and they get to May 7th, Andy, that could change as well. I mean, but how interesting would it be, Andy, if you had the two choices were between a far right, that's how she's described by media, far right leader with a populist economic agenda, that's Marine Le Pen from the National Front, and Francois Fillon, who is from the Republicans. I mean, that's the name of his political party, right, and he's a center right conservative, pro deregulation. So, I mean, it's potential that you could have two conservatives as the choice between between who is elected in France.
Well, that would be an interesting thing. I don't think, and I think you've pointed out correctly, that we have to be very careful when we give labels, because what is considered right in the United States is not considered the same kind of right in France. There is an apprehension that when you talk about right in France, you are talking about the fascist far right that we saw sympathizing and collaborating with the Nazis during the Second World War and the Vichy government. But that's not what we're talking about. Although Marine Le Pen is a far right in the French conception of what is far right, and indeed the name of her party echoes that, National Front. I mean, this indicates, for anybody who has a knowledge of history, is very reminiscent of the Franco regime in the 1930s in Spain, and they call themselves, you know, the Nationalist Party as opposed to the Spanish Loyalists.
That's what Nazi meant. I mean, that's Nazi was the, you know, they were, again, they were nationalists.
National Socialists,
yes,
right.
Yes, so all these terms do matter, especially for Europeans.
That's correct. And so Marine Le Pen is anti-immigrant, anti-European, pro-Russian in many respects, anti-American in some respects, pro-Trump in many respects, and has been a leader in the polls. So she covers the waterfront in many respects among these candidates. And the conventional wisdom in the polls have raised the expectation that her, at least from a French point of view, extremism was going to be rejected by a massive majority of the voters. But now we have this terrorist attack on the eve of the presidential election, and that may very well bode well for her in coming up with the necessary votes to get in the effectively in the runoff on May 7th.
Well, and, you know, we've been battling our own issues in U.S. domestically, the executive order, which is still in federal court. We're filing another brief today in the Ninth Circuit out of the Hawaii case. So we're directly involved with that. And Marine Le Pen has said, all French terror suspects. They've got a terror suspect list there. And I will say this to everyone listening, Facebook, Periscope, and all the radio broadcasts. Their terror suspect list is much more, I think, in a sense, we've got long ones here. But they're kind of like, how far up do you go? Logan, their list of five, it's like 5,000 or so. These are real terrorists. I mean, these are active terror cell, not people with sympathies. But people have been in prison. People have faced this. And we don't ever want to face that in the United States, which is why Donald Trump became president. As right. People said, we don't want to face this. It's why Marine Le Pen. We'll go through the other candidates in a bit as well, and then talk healthcare too.
Yep, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Got a few lines open, so if you've ever wanted to get on the show, this is a great time to do it. 1-800-684-3110. We talk about the on topic, and we'll go a little bit, like I said, into healthcare coming up shortly. So if you got comments related to that, you can go ahead and give us a call as well. That's at 1-800-684-3110. Once again, 1-800-684-3110. Talk about how, like you said, we don't want this coming to America and what we can do to stop it. So again, give us a call.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. We engage the issues that matter most. Whether it's fighting to protect Christians around the globe who are targeted simply because of their religious beliefs, or working to root out the corruption inside the Washington bureaucracy and hold those who are responsible accountable. The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
5110 if you want to talk to us on air. That's 1-800-684-3110. The second half hour of the broadcast, you won't want to miss this because we're going to get right into healthcare in the United States. But we, because we have an office in France and we're at our European Center for Law and Justice, because the France has experienced yet another ISIS terror attack in Paris last night, and this was a named ISIS fighter. What do I mean by that? Well, he had a name and an ISIS name. And ISIS was able to claim responsibility for this attack, not just by encouraging it or supporting it, but they claimed him with a specific name that was unique to ISIS. So he has an ISIS fighter name. He had an AK-47, which means likely someone helped him get that.
Right.
You know, you don't get that by yourself. You had to be part of a network. France knows the network is pretty large. They've identified, I think, over 15,000 people total, which, again, is not a number that is impossible for law enforcement to track, but to what extent before they jump out of a car or walk down a major street and start opening fire. Thankfully, the police did a great job. We lost a police officer in his line of service in France, and that is, again, never acceptable in these acts of terror. But because the French have put so many police, so much military on the streets, they're able to handle these situations more like what we'd be used to in a major city in the United States when it's an attack in such a prominent location, because we've had that kind of security for now 16-plus years, which is why in many parts in our country we see terror attacks. We've had it at less high-profile places that are a little bit less protected. But when you put these police there and armed military as well, they're able to handle. Let's take a phone call, Logan, take some comments as well at 1-800-684-3110.
Let's go to Joyce in Illinois on line 3. You're on the air. Oh, Joyce, I think we dropped Joyce. Let's put her.
No, I'm here.
Up there.
I'm
okay,
here.
Go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to say thank you for telling us the truth. And I just wanted to say that I hope Le Pen does get in and maybe she can work with President Trump and end some of this craziness.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, she has faced, Andy, similar links to Russia talk. Now, she's been a little bit more direct in her discussions about Putin and nationalism. So she respects the idea of a leader who stands up for their own country. That's what she says she wants to do for France. So she's not a pro-American in that sense, but willing to work with Donald Trump. I think probably more so than any French politician we've seen. I mean, Nicolas Sarkozy works very closely with our government as well. So it's not outside the norm. It's that France is experiencing something totally unique we're not talking about, again, here a small European country. We're talking about a member
That's
of
right.
the Security Council that has a veto power over any kind of sanction. If she is as pro-Russia as people discuss, in her words discuss, that could be interesting at the Security Council. If this is, again, more of a way to slander her, as I believe it was Donald Trump, then we may see a total change in Marine Le Pen. If she was to become president, I think would probably surprise a lot of people with international activity. I think. I'm not 100% sure.
Well, I tend to agree with you. There was all this contention during our presidential campaign that President Trump was in the pocket of the Russians and that he was had ties with Russia and that this would be a terrible thing. And I think some of these allegations against Marine Le Pen are being made in the same fashion. The proof is in the pudding. We have to see exactly what happens. But I think she will be a leader, in my view, at any rate, for France, as President Trump is in the United States. And I think she's gotten a tremendous boost by what has happened in this unfortunate, horrible terror attack.
Absolutely. And there's a call related to that. Let's go to Mark, who's calling in Ohio on line 5. Mark, you're on the air.
Hi. I was just wondering, what do you think the chances are that France will wake up to immigration jihad?
Well,
and change policies and laws to counter the threat.
Mark, I mean, unlike our country, I mean, this is, again, France has got, it's a different aged country, and because of that, they've got some unique situations. So there's a lot of French nationals who come out of the Islamic world. That's because there were French territories not too far away from France in North Africa. So they've dealt with the issue of these communities, and they've never truly integrated. If you've been to France, you've ever gotten off the beaten path, you will see that their poorest neighborhoods, the toughest neighborhoods, are these North African neighborhoods. That's These right. are predominantly what you would think, you know, Islamic neighborhoods, people from whether it's Algeria, Tunisia, Morocco, and they never fully, for the most part, integrated. They're kept up in what is similar to government. It's government housing. It's government housing blocks in Paris and other major cities. And because of the lack of integration, which the French have had a chance to do over decades, you've got, when you have these extremist movements, young people that are not employed, that feel disjointed from the government, they're joining these radical groups. They're an easier group. This is who the terrorists prey on. They prey on the poor, and they prey on the, you know, those who haven't had opportunities.
Right. There's only so many people obviously you can talk to essentially go and kill themselves.
And who are violent. So they go, a criminal who is Islamic and has already been trying to kill police officers, hey, that's perfect for ISIS. I mean, they have very good recruiters, the truth is, who are not the guys firing the gun.
Right.
They're hiding out, doing these connections via computer or a discussion. We'll take phone calls, 1-800-684-3110.
Yep, let's go to Glory. I'm not sure if we have complete answers on this. Maybe we can find out. Yep. Glory's calling in North Carolina on line one. You're on the
Hi.
Air.
Hi. Hello, I just wondered if either of these elected people running for president in France are pro-Israel.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's not the number one issue. Marine Le Pen has been called pro-Israel. That's probably linked to the fight against Islamic terror. That would be a somewhat of a change. Now, all French governments would try to play both sides of this in the past, but there has been a lot of pro-Israel support in France at a government level. I think she would probably do it in the terror fighting level.
Yep. It's different than the way it's treated in America.
Very different. It's not a top issue. It's not one that would come up a lot. So like the social issues, like abortion, that is, again, there's a big Catholic church, obviously, in France that is very pro-life. So even in Marine Le Pen's party, there's division, though, on that issue. It's not like party platform says to be a member of this party, right, you must be pro-life. It hasn't gotten there yet, for the most part. There are other candidates. I'm just to be fair, even though we don't have to comply with French broadcasting laws. But Emmanuel Macron, headache. Who is a socially liberal but center, he's one of the leading candidates. I think he's kind of the biggest challenge to her right now. Then of course you have Marine Le Pen, who's considered. I mean, she's described as far right. For the United States, there's not really probably an economic or social concern because of the immigration stance. Francois Fillon, who is a center-right conservative, more similar to like a Nicolas Sarkozy's party, actually comes out of the Republicans, is how that translates. Then there is a Mélenchon, who is a far-left anti-austerity firebrand, so kind of the Bernie Sanders, I would think, type. And then another left-wing radical from the Socialist Party, Hamon. So, again, those are the leading out of 11. They're going to be narrowed down to at least two unless one of those gets to 50 plus one. We're going to talk about this. We're also going to talk about healthcare when we come back. Our second half hour, Logan, tell people about that. It's very important.
That's right. If you lose us here, if your station doesn't carry the full hour of Jay Sekulow Live, you can still get us for broadcasting live right now on Facebook and Periscope, facebook.com/Jay Sekulow, Periscope, search for Jay Sekulow, also ACLJ.org and the ACLJ app. You can find us all right there broadcasting live. You can interact on the social media outlets. Find us archived later on the ACLJ app, on ACLJ.org, and the Jay Sekulow Live podcast available on iTunes, however you get your podcast. Again, all of that is available and all the information at ACLJ.org. We got a couple lines open. If you want to give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Right back with more on Jay Sekulow Live.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We're going to continue discussing, obviously, ISIS, a released ISIS terrorist. And what we mean by released is he was in prison for a decade for attempting to kill police officers. He gets released, Islamic background, tries to do it, threatens it again in February, gets detained, comes back out on the street, and in April kills a police officer on the Champs-Élysées, which, again, to try and put this into context is like Pennsylvania Avenue. It's the, you know, it's the Arch de Triomphe,
right.
Times Square.
Fifth Avenue.
Having to shut. Now, Times Square, they ultimately kind of did shut down of this.
Yeah, think about the size of Times Square. Times also like 10. I mean,
yes,
like,
much bigger, much more of a thoroughway, too.
Right.
A real road that you, if you, last time I was in Paris, I mean, to really, if you, which most of the time, if you're in a hotel in Paris, you're going to be near the Arch de Triomphe because it shoots out so many directions. And to get anywhere, you're going to keep going down the street. It's not like a, it's not just a tourist street. Let's put it that way. It is a main thoroughfare through Paris. To shut that down is to shut down the entire transportation system in Paris. And you saw the fear in the people's eyes. If you see the people running away, you saw the stores behind them. So you get the fact of the kind of, this is a high end, expensive area as well as a major tourist area. But if you're a French citizen living near this, you are at a very high socioeconomic status,
yes,
to be able to afford that area. Because
living in Midtown Manhattan. It's,
yes.
It's that kind of thing.
Significance there. Also, you've got a police officer killed. That's the most significance. There was a loss of life, which is never okay. And we shouldn't just move forward because a guy with an AK-47 was thankfully shot, was neutralized by police. But second, there is a presidential election there. Round one is on Sunday. I mean, so just you understand the impacts it can have when you have a leading candidate who opposes immigration. Let's take a phone call.
Okay, let's go ahead. Let's go to Leticia, who's calling in California. You're on line four. You're on the air.
Hi, sir. Yeah, I was watching about the Paris attack, and it doesn't seem like Paris is learning. It seems like they have amnesia, especially from the Paris shooting, the nightclub shooting, I believe, in 2015. Yeah.
I mean, the security presence that was up significantly.
Here's the difference. If you went back 2 years ago and somebody had an AK-47 near the Champs-Élysées, there would have been 20 people dead. 10, at least. You know, I mean, before a police officer was. I mean, if you got a semi-automatic, I don't know if this was a fully automatic AK-47 military style or one that would be more similar to what you could purchase here.
Still, though, now there's police on every corner.
Right. So you fire a shot, you are dead. I mean, you may be able to fire a shot that does kill someone, but probably not past that. And that changes, again, everything. Now, does that make the French people think, okay, we can just do this and we don't need to elect someone
neutralized.
That may cause more riots in the street? That's another issue, Andy, is that we have a riots in the street. This is a country that loves to protest.
Yeah, like, we did it here in America this election, but you ain't seen nothing until you've seen the – I mean, we had the French
– full shutdowns of branches of – service, air travel. Right. You can't use the train. People will,
people that had the revolution.
Boycott. Yeah, I mean, they love revolution.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it.
And the young people are behind her, and we've seen young people take to the streets in Paris before, in France before, and have significant consequences, sometimes shocking.
Well, I think President Trump said it right when he tweeted out the other day, or yesterday, the people of France will not take much more of this, will have a big effect on presidential election. I think that's a true statement. I don't think that constitutes interference, which I'm sure some from the left are going to say in the French election. I think it's a very prescient commentary on what's going to happen this coming Sunday in France.
So if she gets elected, you have Brexit, you have Trump, what does that mean for the global landscape?
Well, I mean, you go to Andy as well. I think, to me, it means that Trumpism, he brought it,
America.
He took this out of the back seat,
right?
Too. No, he mainstreamed it. Because if Donald Trump can be president of the United States, a politician in France, I say that importantly, she's not new to politics. She's run a political party with her father and then kicked her father out because he was too extreme. If Donald Trump can get elected president, Marine Le Pen, I think that's what it told these leaders as well.
I think that's absolutely correct. And I think we see this, generally speaking, in England and Britain, rather, when we saw this in the Brexit vote. In the United States, when we see it with the election of Donald Trump in France, where the polls show Marie Le Pen is leading. This is all indicative of where we're headed.
And when we get back, healthcare.
That's right. So if you want to call in about that, we have a couple lines open, 1-800-684-3110. Healthcare coming back. You can also have an exclusive video that comes up only for you guys watching on social media and at ACLJ.org coming up right now.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. We engage the issues that matter most, whether it's fighting to protect Christians around the globe who are targeted simply because of their religious beliefs, or working to root out the corruption inside the Washington bureaucracy and hold those who are responsible accountable. The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, folks, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Now, so for our callers, we had a comment come in and said, why are we talking about French election?
Yeah, well, Teresa just said it doesn't matter who wins the French election.
Here's why. Teresa, for everybody out there, sometimes we wouldn't focus as much. One, there was an ISIS terror attack, a named ISIS fighter. So this is not someone who got radicalized just online. He had an ISIS name and a real name. Okay, so has carried a terror attack out in a major capital of the world, Paris. An international capital, and the capital of France. The French people are electing their president. Round one of their voting, there could be two rounds, begins Sunday. Why is that important? Well, France is a member of NATO. NATO is engaged in the war against these Islamic radicals in Afghanistan, Syria. You know, you've got the situation obviously ongoing still in Iraq. So that's part one. Part two, maybe even more important in this time period, is their veto. They are on equal footing with the United States of America at the United Nations. They are one of the five. There are only five countries who can veto anything at the UN Security Council. France is one of them. So who becomes president there when it comes to Israel? And there are pro-Israel candidates in this race. Marie Le Pen is one of them, which is a change in her, again, the background of that political party. But another candidate, it could very well between a choice between two right-leaning candidates in France. Now, that's still in, I put that in French terms. One is probably more economic conservative. That would be Fillon, who's also talked about being pro-Israel, but then Marine Le Pen, who is more of a nationalist. So again, not nearly as much ideology when it comes to those issues as it is more on the immigration issue. But we saw in the United States, that can take you all the way to the top. And so that is why it's important. I want to talk healthcare as well, though, because we got to talk about our own domestic politics, because sure, this impacts every one of us, because it's the entire tax code. It's how you get to tax reform. Let me go to Than Bennett, our director of government affairs. And look, we've already got people calling in on this. They want to know.
That's right.
Than, one, we saw yesterday, we broke this news at the end of the broadcast, that it's potentially a vote on healthcare is coming next week. And that there's these talks between the moderate Republicans and the more conservative Republicans in the House on a deal. At this point in time, first of all, has anything changed since we broke that news yesterday? I did see, Than, that there were talks that they keep saying they are very close, but they have not said they're there.
I think they are very close, Jordan. I think they've been close for some time. I think the biggest thing that has changed since yesterday, it does seem apparent to me that the chairman of the two groups you talked about, the House Freedom Caucus, the chairman there is Mark Meadows, and then the Tuesday group, the chairman there is Tom MacArthur. It appears to me, Jordan, that those two have agreed to a deal in principle. Now, look, I got to be very careful. Those two agreeing in principle does not necessarily mean that their two caucuses agree or that they can get to the 216 votes needed to pass the House. What they have to do is take that agreement, put it down into legislative text, and then do what we call whip the conference, which basically means talk to the conference and see how many votes it has. Jordan, there is going to be a conference call on Saturday with all of the House Republicans to get a feel where they're at on that. And if they think they can get there, I think what you'll see is legislative text early next week, and then they will do that whipping process. And Jordan, if they think they can get to 216 votes, I'll tell you this, they will put it on the floor immediately, and it could be up for a vote within about 26 hours. Technically, you have to give a calendar day in between for it to ripen, but I think they're very, very close on it.
All right, Logan, let's take some phone calls. We got phone calls on
healthcare.
Yep, and then we'll still talk, obviously, about what's happening in France and the terror attack there as well.
Line one, let's go to Shelley, who's calling in Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi, yes. My question is, how far are we at the federal government taking away the federal money for Planned Parenthood and not funding?
All right, so Than, is defunding of Planned Parenthood still potentially part of this legislation?
I think it is in there, Jordan. It looks like it's going to be the American Health Care Act with a new amendment from these conferences. So there's no indication that it's come out. And look, this is one of the biggest reasons that we think it needs to happen now, because if you get outside the reconciliation window, you cannot move that Planned Parenthood language through the Senate. That's why we think there is some urgency.
We actually have a call on reconciliation. I want to explain this to everybody. We've tried through the first round in voting because, again, you can't do everything through reconciliation, but there is one very important reason why if you can do a lot, it's a nice one to use. Let's take the call.
Yep, let's go to line two. Mark in Alabama, you're on the air.
Yes, how are you doing today?
We're good, Mark.
Y'all doing a fantastic job up there.
Thank you.
I think you just answered my question a little bit, but I was just wondering, I know that the time is running out on reconciliation, but we still are in the process of getting it done, it looks like.
Just barely, Mark. Technically, this would have to be done by the end of next week, Than, unless the budget for the federal government that keeps our government open, you know, the shutdown versus open, that keeps the kind of not just the essentials, but the less essential. I won't call everybody a non-essential. I'm sure there's lots of people that work for the federal government on here that do good work, that get things done that we all need. But some of them, you know, they actually stop getting paid. You know, it's the military still operates, security still operates. That is shutdown. That's just my side note on shutdown. But, Than, that would technically need to be done this week. But they could also, if they needed another week of negotiations, they could do a one-week funding bill of the government.
Right.
Well, it's such a great question from Mark, and it's not a cut-and-dry answer like you said. I mean, technically speaking, if you pass a new budget, so if you pass the fiscal year 2018 budget, you would lose the reconciliation instructions that we're trying to work on that allow you to pass something through the Senate with only 51 votes. But, Jordan, what I'm hearing that is most likely to happen is that there would actually not be a new budget technically passed by the House. They would just do a short-term funding continuing resolution and not actually pass a fiscal year 2018 budget. What that would do is buy a few more weeks for the existing reconciliation instructions to move forward. So it's maybe not a great solution for funding the government long term, but it might buy a few more weeks to move under the reconciliation process and get Obamacare repeal through. I think that's what's the likely route to happen.
Than, if we actually see a vote get scheduled, unlike last time where, you know, they were expecting if they could even get to the vote, which they ultimately did not, then it would still be right on the line in the House. I mean, maybe the bare minimum you needed to get it across the line into the Senate. But if we see it scheduled again, and we may not get as much notice, like last time they kept having to push it back and push it back because they would tell you a day and then push it back. This time, if we see a breaking news alert, and folks that are listening see a breaking news alert and says they're now having a vote on healthcare in the House, do you think that it gets passed, easily past that threshold, or do you think they're still working within margins of, you know, you lose one or two people and you can be in trouble?
The vote's going to be very close either way, Jordan. I don't think you're going to have the ability to have a vote that is well over the 216 threshold needed. However, I don't think they're going to schedule it unless they've whipped it and they're sure that they have the votes they needed. So I think you're going to see legislative texts come together, and I think you're going to get hard commitments from the caucus. It doesn't mean the vote's going to be clear or convincing, but I do think it means they have enough. And remember, one other thing. You had Ron Estes elected in Kansas, the 4th Congressional District there, so you've got one more vote there to work with.
Right.
And now you can probably afford to lose up to 22 Republicans and still pass it through the House.
So it's still, again, it would be a you'd be able to move it forward. We support this idea. Now, we haven't seen the text of this. So, again, when this text comes out, we will review again whatever changes were made. But we support this view because we understand, I think, unlike a lot of groups who started opposing, what reconciliation means. And folks just did not understand. This was not just like a new piece of legislation. This is utilizing a process to start repealing Obamacare. And why not utilize the processes that are available to you, like not having to worry about the 60-vote threshold, which means you need 8 Democrats in the U.S. Senate to join you. I don't believe there's probably 8 Democrats, honestly, who are going to just fall in line to repeal the Affordable Care Act or change it significantly. So if you can make those changes, which then means next time they're voting, their Affordable Care Act then would be gone. So the next time you're voting, and you may not be able to use reconciliation to do the second part of the legislative work, it's a bit more easier to find 8 Democrats who are willing to provide a better healthcare system for Americans when they're no longer trying to protect the legacy of President Obama or legislation they supported in the past.
That's exactly right, Jordan. I don't think there's a single Democrat in the United States Senate that would support on the repeal side of it. But if Obamacare was gone, if the subsidies were gone, if they had constituents clamoring in need of insurance coverage, in need of bolstering the system, I think you could get some to come along for various pieces, whether it's selling across state lines or whatever it may be. But Jordan, just one other thing I would throw into this. If the people listening to this broadcast care about the Planned Parenthood funding, as I know they do, if we do not use the reconciliation window, I am telling you this for a fact, there is zero chance that Planned Parenthood will be defunded because there are not 60 votes available in the United States Senate for it. There are, in fact, Jordan, there aren't even 52. There are 52 Republicans, but there are only 50 votes for defunding Planned Parenthood in the United States Senate. The reconciliation window that we're trying to move this under is literally the only opportunity we have to do that piece of it.
All right, folks. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk a little bit more on healthcare and then get back into it. We got a lot of calls on the situation involving France and ISIS and the election there. So we're going to take those calls as well if you're hanging on to talk about that at 1-800-684-3110. Remember, it's Friday, so at our final segment, we'll take all of your phone calls as well.
That's right, 1-800-684-3110. Once again, 1-800-684-3110. Lines are jammed, but they'll open up. You can also get your comments in on Facebook right now. And we'll address some of those in the break coming up right after this. And again, last segment, we take as many calls as we can. We got a couple lines. Well, they're jammed right now, but they may open up, like I said. 1-800-684-3110. We'll take some of those comments here during the break. Be right back with more on Jay Sekulow Live.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. We engage the issues that matter most. Whether it's fighting to protect Christians around the globe who are targeted simply because of their religious beliefs, or working to root out the corruption inside the Washington bureaucracy and hold those who are responsible accountable. The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
All right, so we discussed healthcare. We're going to get back to it in just a minute. But I also want to get, we've had people holding on
for a long
through
time.
That discussion. And yep. So for those of you on healthcare, hang on too. We'll get to it.
We'll up,
through that discussion, who want to discuss what is happening in France, we have had another ISIS attack in France. There have been 25 jihadist attacks in France, 25 since 2012. So that's even before ISIS. But of course, you had the Bataclan and the soccer stadium. You had the Charlie Hebdo. You had the Nice truck attack. So hundreds of French people have been killed by Islamic terrorism. And yes, 2012 is before really the rise of ISIS. But when ISIS took center stage, these terrorists had a new life, if you will, because of the networks that they were able to utilize and the radicalization tools at their disposal, resources. For instance, just to remind everybody, you cannot easily get an AK-47 in France, which means no way this guy did this by himself. He's at least part of a group that armed him. And that means that there are other people who are now responsible for a death, for someone losing their life, in this case, a police officer.
All right, let's take some of these calls. Let's go to Bobby in Florida. You're on line three. Welcome.
Hi, Bobby.
Hi, thank you for all you do. Thank you. My question is, if Marie Le Pen does win the election and she decides to close the borders of France, do you think could or would the EU penalize France for doing that?
Well, it depends on how she did it. So in a case of active terror, it'd be how they legally describe it. And I don't want to get too in the weeds for everybody, but in cases of active terror, you have seen closing of borders in these countries. But you point out, Bobby, very importantly to our audience, that France is an independent country, but operating in this larger structure of the European Union. I don't know if you would see a Brexit-type move. It's potential. I think Marie Le Pen would probably support moves like that, but I'm not sure she would get the full support of her country to that extent yet. But could you close your borders? Could you make a legal case inside the EU, which is where France would have to make it, and their legal system, that they pose the threat that they are dealing with actually poses a threat outside, so that if France doesn't close this in, your country will be hit next. We've got to deal with it internally. One problem they face, though, Bobby, is that a lot of these ISIS terrorists are citizens. They are not just some are refugees. Some have been recent immigrants, but plenty of them have been on that path to citizenship for a longer period of time. And that's because the French had territories in the Islamic world. So it's different than the United States in that respect. But the refugee flow issue, I mean, they haven't even really faced that yet because they've been dealing with long-term terrorism.
That's right. Let's continue on. Let's go to line four. It's Ashley, who's calling from Oregon. You're on the air.
Hi, Ashley.
Hi, Jordan. I just had a quick question about, with all the terrorist attacks happening in Europe, why do you think it is that people here in America are putting a halt to the travel ban and immigration laws that Trump is trying to kind of change and revamp?
I think, Ashley, you know, it kind of can defy logic. Why can't you focus in on specific countries you know are a threat, and that the Obama administration said was a threat, and utilize that list and say, we're not closing out to everybody who's a Muslim. We're just saying to these specific countries because we think that they pose a threat because their governments are either a failed state, so they have no real government, or they're enemies of the United States. Their government is, not necessarily the people, but the government is. So they're not going to help the United States vet any of these folks that want to come over. But here's the issue, Ashley. If logic worked with these situations in France, you would only have Marie Le Pen will definitely win, you know, the election.
Right.
But it wouldn't be could she get to 50+1. It would be why is she not at 80%? The truth is, a lot of people want to bury their head in the sand and not realize, and they get hooked in with the humanitarian angle, which is understandable. That's why we support in-region safe zones, especially for Christians and persecuted minorities in these regions. But they don't want to deal with the reality. They don't want to deal. They think that we're still operating in a time when this is just taking refugees from a poor country. That's not what we're dealing with. We're dealing with very radicalized populations.
All right, continuing on, let's go to Sharon in California on line one.
Hi, Sharon.
You're on the air.
Hey, hi. How are you? I just wanted to let you know I am a dual citizen. I am actually a French and American citizen.
Yep.
And my husband's French, and his entire family live in France. And they tend to be more on the liberal side of the political spectrum. I'm more middle of the road.
Yep.
But they are scared to death of Marine Le Pen. You have to understand that the value of France is built on liberty, equality, and fraternity. And that's why they've let so many people across their borders, all of these, you know, Muslim immigrants that are in poverty. It's really a pitiful situation. And they're afraid of Marine because she's divisive, and they're afraid that it's going to create a more challenging and dangerous situation for the citizenry in France if she's elected.
And I'll tell you, Sharon, I think you know you've got great insight into this because you're a dual citizen and your husband's French and he's got the family there, like our office. I think that there's an overall concern that that is the case, is what will this cause? You never know with these elections, but when you elect a, not an unknown, because as you know, Sharon, she's not an unknown to the French. Her family is a known, long-term involved in politics. So this is not Donald Trump getting elected and becoming a Republican and then getting elected and hasn't been in the political world. She has. She has elected officials, European, all the way down. At the same time, though, because of the rhetoric, and it's a different kind of country, they take to the streets there in a way that would make our protests, even the big ones, look junky and small.
Look, there was stuff happening with Muslim extremists in the 90s.
Yes, they've been dealing with this.
When we were there personally, it was always an issue pre-9/11.
Way pre-9/11. Remember, they've had terrorism from Islamic radicals since they had territories in North Africa. They have been dealing with terrorism and shootings and attacks. It's just reached a new level of violence.
Let's try to get at least one more call, and let's go to James in Illinois. I'm sorry to the others. You know, you guys have been holding a while, but may not be able to get to you, but keep on hold for now. James in Illinois, you're on the air.
Hello. Well, I have kind of a comment and a question at the same time. It also might kind of help explain why the election in France is so important. With the Islamization and the far left that we're seeing these European countries go to, and the way we're seeing our enemies around the world seemingly get friendly with each other and become friends, are we potentially looking at a future where we are start to lose our allies in Europe and seeing our enemies all becoming friends with each other?
I actually think we're at a point, James, where we're going to see more allies. I mean, if this continues, at least on the war on terror. Like Andy said, it's not that Marine Le Pen is necessarily so pro-American in her views. It's that she supports what Donald Trump ran on, these ideas. It's not the idea of America. She's a very French still, and it's about French nationalism. But on if you got to work together on terrorism, I think you may actually see more unity. Look what happened in the U.K., so I think people are moving away from the far left in Europe right now. Could that change overnight? Yes. But right now with this terror threat all over the EU, no, it's not changing.
Well, if you missed any of today's show, if you want to keep updated during the weekend as we will return on Monday, you can do that, all of it, at ACLJ.org. You can also get the ACLJ app on an iPhone, iPad, even Apple TV, where you can watch this show, our weekly television broadcast, our featured documentaries, everything that we do absolutely free on the Apple TV and Roku app. Find all that information at ACLJ.org. Make sure you like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. That's at Jay Sekulow, Jordan Sekulow, and we're always keeping everything updated. So if news breaks, we'll be there. Again, 1-800-684-3110. What you call if you want to be on the air, and you need to know that for next week. We got some crazy stuff coming up.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.